come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father God, as we just come before you in praise and worship, we glorify your name. We are thankful, Lord, for your word. I pray, Father, for wisdom in what to share and what not to share, Lord, as far as our lesson is concerned. And Lord, just help me to hear from you and to speak your word only, to speak your word only, Lord. And so we give it all to you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. I'm energized. I don't know about anybody else, but I am energized by this. And so we start with chapter 8. I know that there is such an attack physically on a number of people, particularly in our fellowship, because those are the people I'm around, so I know these things. So, but I am thankful for what the Lord's doing. I believe that He's doing a great thing. And so, in chapter 8, we started out. We talked last week about, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and He went there, and He invested that time with His Father, because it's so important for us always to invest that time with the Lord, especially after ministry, especially after that time of being worn down with spiritual warfare going on. We need that time alone with the Lord. Last Tuesday, I was at a pastor's wives conference, and this is such a minor thing, but it's kind of funny to be able to tell it. On Tuesday, when I was supposed to share, my knee would not work. It hurt. I could not walk. And so I got into the main room, sat in the back. And so when I shared, I sat in the back row with ice on my knee and taught. So that was an amazing thing, because it's just different. You know, God does things different. And I am so thankful that He has, in fact, healed my, well, I'm believing for complete healing on my knee, but that He's really done it where I'm walking and I can move it and I'm walking fast and everything. So I'm thankful for that, and I need to share what God has done. And so early in the morning, Jesus was in the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and the people stood up. I think that's a neat thing, for the teacher to be able to sit down and everybody else stands up. There's no chance of you falling asleep if you're standing up, right? But I doubt if Jesus was sharing something that any of us would have fallen asleep. I don't think that that would have been a problem. But here He is, and He's in the courts of women, which you probably already have in your homework, that where He was at. He was in the court of women, because that's as far as the women could go. So that's as far as He went, because He doesn't want to leave anybody out. And so the scribes and Pharisees, they bring Him the woman caught in adultery. They said, "We caught her in the very act." Now that very word, that was according to the law. We caught her in the very act. There's something seriously missing from here. Because it takes more than one person to commit adultery. The guy is missing in here. It's a setup from the very beginning, and you can see that it's a setup from the very beginning, and Jesus was very aware of what their hearts were at. They wanted to trip Him up. If He said that she should be stoned for what she did, according to the law, He would no longer be known as a friend of the sinner. He would no longer be known as that. And so he just, it says that they were doing it to test him, and he bent down and he started writing things in the sand. Now, you all know this story, and you probably, there's a lot of stuff in your homework about it. But I don't know because I didn't see it. But I don't do my homework. So we don't know. There's speculation on what he was writing. Some of the speculation is that he was writing down the names of the people that maybe these guys had been involved with. There is speculation that maybe because he bent down two times and wrote in it, that perhaps he was writing down the law. You know how the law was given one time and Moses broke it and then it had to be given again. And so Moses had to write it down again. That was speculation on it. We don't know. But what we do know is what he said. At first he is ignoring them, but then they continually, you know what they were doing? They were doing this. Well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What should we do? Come on, give us an answer. We need an answer. Does that annoy you when somebody does that? Yeah. But Jesus was just acting like he didn't even hear them. But then he stands up and he says, so whoever's without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. What he was saying was, any of you who have never thought of this, you've never ever thought of doing this, then you can cast the first stone, because it all starts in the mind. And so he stooped down again, began to write in the ground, and their conscience convicted them, and they went out, the oldest even to the youngest. There is something to be said about us old people. We have learned some things. And they got out right away. And Jesus just takes that issue, and then he raises himself up in verse 10. He saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those who accuse you? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no, no one has. And if you know the background on what she was facing, this was horrible death. There was different for if she was engaged. There was different for fornication, just fornication. That was even different punishment, yes, for that. So that was what she was facing. No one's condemned you. And so the Lord says to her, neither do I condemn you, but here's what I need you to do. Stop it. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does not expect us, and I don't expect myself, to continue on in a sin that I'm asking forgiveness for. We need to look at it that way. When we confess our sin, we are, as much as lies within me, I'm standing against it. Lord, strengthen me in my temptation, whatever that temptation is in our lives. You know, for me, it could be food, which apparently it is. But, you know, just eating too much of what you can eat. So anyway, go and sin no more. And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, so he's taken care of. He's been interrupted in his teaching. He deals with the situation at hand with love for this woman. He deals with it seriously with those who were being the accusers. And then he deals with that. And then he goes right back to teaching. And I always wondered when I looked at this, why at that point does he say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Why is it put right there? Remember when we talked about why was the water done that way in chapter 7? When we talked about the water on the last day being emptied, and he said, I am the living water, I'm that one. Well, that's the same situation that we have here when he said, I am the light of the world. He was standing in a place, you know, they have just finished the Feast of Tabernacles. They have just been in a place where all of this festivities have gone on, and where he is standing, there would be a huge candelabra. which gave off a lot of light. And those were lit. Let me read from, because I'll get it wrong. But Jesus was claiming to be God, the Messiah. The word light was a part of the Jewish thought and language. The Lord is my light, Psalm 27:1. The Lord will be your everlasting light, Isaiah 60, verse 19. By his light I walked through darkness, Job 29:3. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me, Micah 7:8. The rabbis declared the name of the Messiah was light. When Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, he was making a claim that none could possibly be higher. And here we have a very clear picture of what was going on. And so here's what has just happened. On the evening, this is according to William Barclay, on the evening of the first day of the feast, there was a ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple. It took place in the Court of Women, where they're at right now. The court was surrounded with areas prepared to hold the spectators. In the center were four huge candelabras that were prepared. When the darkness came, the candelabras were lit, and it was said, they sent such a blaze of light throughout Jerusalem that every courtyard was lit up with their brilliance. The wisest and the holiest men in Israel danced before the Lord and sang psalms of joy and praise while the people watched. And Jesus is saying here, he is referring to that temple or that that time in the wilderness. Remember, the Feast of Tabernacles is all about their time in the wilderness and that pillar of fire that led them through the darkness of night. That pillar of fire, that was the presence of the Lord. That was his Shekinah glory that was there. That was the presence of the Lord in that fire that led them through the darkness. And Jesus is saying here, you have seen the blaze of the temple illuminations piercing the darkness of the night. I am the light of the world, and for the man who follows me, there will be light, not only for one night, but for all of his life, according to Barclay. Jesus is saying, now, when they had the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord dwelt in the tabernacle. But there was a time when that light faded. Remember when Moses came down off the mountain and he glowed and they said, oh, we can't look at you. So he put a veil over. He kept on that veil long after the glow of the Lord had left him. And so what had happened here in the tabernacle is the glow, the Shekinah glory was slipping away because of the sin, because of the people who chose to go their own way, not following after the Lord. And it dimmed. And so they had to have artificial lighting. So they artificially remembered what once was. And so here we have that he's saying that I am the light of the world. I am that one that you are looking for. I am that Shekinah glory. I'm the light of the world that your rabbis have been teaching about here. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from, I know where I'm going, and you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. And then he says, I judge no one. I judge no one according to the flesh. I judge according to the Spirit. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. And this just reminds me, ladies, we are never alone. Never, never, never are you alone. The Lord walks with you. Whatever you are going through right now, whatever your situation is, whatever your illness is, whatever is going on, you are not alone. The real temptation is to feel very alone in the midst of these things. Maybe there's a huge trial going on in your life. Maybe you just had a big argument with somebody, and it's tearing you apart. God knows you're not alone, and he's going to carry you through. It's written in your law that the testimony of two men, I am one, verse 18, who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And then they said to him, where is your Father? Well, you know, neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury, and we could go into the whole thing about where he was at, but we won't today. And he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him because it wasn't his time. And again, I'm going to say to you, nobody leaves this earth 1 second before God's timing. Not one of us leaves this earth before God says it's time. And so then Jesus said to them again, I am going away. You seek me, but you're going to die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. And they said, well, is he going to kill himself? Because they believed that if you killed yourself, if you committed suicide, that you would go to hell. But what Jesus is speaking here is, and because again, they're thinking only in the physical, not in the spiritual. And so in verse 23, you are from beneath, Jesus says. He's talking about you are of this world. You're just of this world. He's not saying that you're of hell, but you are of this world. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. It very clearly spoken there. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, he is in italics, which you already know. That means that it is inferred. But it is not there in the original text. He said, because you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. How many of you heard John Corson this morning? Anybody hear John Corson this morning? He was teaching on John chapter 17, and he went into a whole long thing about the I am. And so, but Jesus was saying, I am God. Tell them, I am that I am. And everybody knew that that's what he was saying. Now, if you get involved in your conversations with any of the cults, and they cannot say that Jesus is God, you're on the wrong track. Because they take away the deity of God, and there is salvation in no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name Christ Jesus. And his name is Christ Jesus because he is God. There is salvation in no other but through Christ Jesus. And so when you're having those conversations with people and you ask them, well, oh, yes, we believe that he's God the Son, but is he God? Do you believe that he's God? Well, no, not exactly. Either you do or you don't. And if you don't, you don't have eternal life. Whatever you're trusting in, you don't have eternal life because you can only have eternal life by believing that he's God and that he, only God can forgive sins. That's what the Pharisees said. Only God can forgive sins. So there we have it. So pay close attention when you have conversations with people and know that that's the important thing. Just that's the salvation, the mystery that God should become man. Abraham offered up Isaac, yet God provided himself a sacrifice. And it was clear to the Pharisees. And so I have many things to say to you going down to verse 26. They ask him who he is. He said, I'm going to tell you the same thing I've been telling you from the beginning. And then he says, I have a lot to talk to you about. I have a lot that I want to say to you, but I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only speak to the world those things which I heard from him, his Father. How many times have I said out loud in the quietness of my room, God, I am so sorry I said that. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Anybody else ever in your whole life ever did anything? Please, we should have every hand up. If it's, I won't be like Bill and have you do these exercises, but it just makes me feel better to have you have other hands up. those times when you, there's no taking it back. Lord, put a watchman at my mouth. Because once it's out there, it's out there. And I can beg forgiveness for whatever it was. And I can get forgiveness from the person as well as from the Lord. But it's still out there. Like with gossip, you've heard the illustration of the gossip with the feathers. Go up to the highest mountain. A lady had said some things about, I think it was her pastor, I don't know, I've messed up the story already, but she said some things, she asked for forgiveness for it, and she was told, take a pillow, a feather pillow, up on the mountain, and shake out all the feathers. And then go down to the bottom of the mountain and collect every one of them. See, you can't do it. That's what our words do. Lord, let my words be good. Let my words be pure. Let my words be something that brings glory to you. If it doesn't need to be said, Lord, keep a watchman at my mouth. Keep me from saying those things. And so, he said that you're not going to understand these things. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, you are not going to understand any of this until I'm on the cross. And when I'm on the cross, you're going to get it. Finally, you will get it. And you'll know that I'm the one that I say that I am. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Do we always do those things that please the Lord? I love the title of Kay Smith's Bible studies, Pleasing God. She was one of those who taught us as pastors' wives how to please God. Do we always do the things that please the Father? I don't always, but we all do our best. And we confess our sin, faithful and just to forgive us, and then we continue on for that mark of the high calling of God. And he spoke those words, so at that time, many people believed in him because of what he had said. So lots of people are believing in him. And then he spoke to those who believed in him, and he said, if, you got that word circled? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He is giving instructions to the believers there. He's giving instructions to abide in my word. Abide in the things that you know of me. Make it your dwelling place. Make it the place where you stay. And right away, the others that are standing, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Freedom. We've always been free. And I know it does this in your homework. We've always been free. Well, they were right now under the rule of the Romans. How many times had they been in bondage because of their sin? God had brought them into a place where he had to go through the book of Judges. You know, they were in bondage. They prayed. He set them free. They did well for 5 minutes. And then everyone started doing what was right in their own eyes, and they went into bondage, and they prayed, and they were set free, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and the cycle continues, doesn't it? The cycle continues. And so that covers that part of there, and it says, whoever sins is a slave to sin. If we continue to love the sin, if we are practicing sin, we are a slave to that sin. We will sin. We will sin. But are we a slave to that sin? Do we allow it to control us? We confess it. We say, I'm done with it. Lord, strengthen me in my temptations and move on. A slave does not, but the point is, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed in a way that you can't even believe. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but it goes on to say, but you're not Abraham's children. Yes, you are Jews. I get that. I understand that, yes, you are Jews by birth, but you are not spiritually Abraham's children because you don't walk in the way that Abraham walked. You don't walk in the way of the fathers. You walk in your own way and go after your own sin. And that, and then he talked to them about being of their father. I think we should only do the red letters in this. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not get this? We were talking in as we were praying. Was this him? Why do you not get it? I don't know. I don't know. He was Jewish. He was demonstrative in some areas that we've seen. But I don't know. I would love to see what that looked like. Why don't you get it? Have you ever said that to someone else? You're trying to make them accept the Lord. You want to make them accept the Lord. Why don't you just get this? Or why don't you get it when I ask you to clean your room? Why do you not get it? You know, why? And here he is. He said, why don't you get this? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're not able to listen, to pay attention to my word, and to respond to it. You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of any sin? Anybody have anything against me? Jesus would stand there. Anybody? Bueller. Anybody? That only works with us older people who understand that. But us more mature people. So anybody? Anybody got anything against me? Can you say any sin that I've committed? No, there's nothing that they could say about him. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. And then the Jews answered and they said to him, I love this. Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Well, okay, so you're a Samaritan and have a demon. I'm remembering someone, one of our kids was babysitting some little kids when we were in our other building at the church. And the boys, the two little boys were fighting and they were calling each other's names, all kinds of names. And the littlest one, he got to a point where he just couldn't come up with anything else. And so he said, yeah, well, you naked. Just to come up with something. That reminded me of that. That kind of attitude of, yeah, well, yeah, you're naked. Because we couldn't come up with anything better. And Jesus answered, I don't have a demon. And this I see him going, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So I don't seek my own glory. There's one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He'll never see death. Then they go on this big thing. Oh, yeah, well, you know, the prophets are dead. All these other guys are dead. What do you mean you'll never see death? Because when you close your eyes here, you open them up in heaven. And the first thing you'll see is his face. How neat to hang on to that. Those two funerals that we went to, I don't know if all of you heard Bill talk about Molly's funeral and the thing that she had been asked to do some stuff. And she had said she loved Jesus. And she was asked to do some things, and her first words were, I'm not comfortable with that. So will you pray for it? Her first words were, no, I won't do that because I'm not comfortable with that. And then, will you pray for it? And her first response was no, but yes, I will. So she went and prayed, and they came back to her and said, so what about this position? And she said, well, I don't want to do it, but I told the Lord that I was uncomfortable in it. And the Lord said to me, when I was on the cross, I was not comfortable. Man, that brings things into perspective, doesn't it? And that's what we have here. That death being a glory thing, and she's beholding his face. And so, yet you have not known him. So verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. I'm going to be a liar like you if I say that I don't know him. I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then the conversation of how will you possibly see Abraham, and everything that I read, everything that I see, refers to when Melchizedek was in Genesis. Scripture on that? Genesis 14. When Melchizedek appeared as a Christophany, I believe that to be true. Jesus went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed them by. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am God. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Like, they're done calling names. So, again, he just slips out of the temple without being seen because God's in control, because God the Father is in control, and he slips out, and it says that going through the midst of them, and so he passed them by. Remember, the most important thing that you have to share with anyone is that Jesus Christ is God. And only by him can we be saved. Only by him can we be set free. Only by him can we know the truth that totally sets us free. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for what you've done this morning. I thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you are you are just so good, Lord. You are good. You are good. You are always good. In the midst of our trials, you are good. When things are going great, you are good. Lord, you are always good, and I thank you. And Lord, help us to remember today what you did with this anointing. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that each woman that's here today, Father, would be anointed with the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would sense your presence with them, that they would know you in a way that they haven't known you before, that in the name of Jesus, you would become so real to them, and that you would set them free, Father, from anything, any of us, set any of us free from anything that holds us. Help us to be done with it, Lord, and to move forward with you. We thank you. Use us as much as you possibly can to extend your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.